today, Father. I thank you, Lord God, for the word that you have put on my heart. I pray, Father, that as I share this word, Lord God, your spirit goes before me and touches the hearts and the minds and souls of your people here, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I'm not going to be talking about moms. Just so you know, God gave me a word a few months ago, actually. The word is unchained. Unchained. I was looking up some statistics. 2016, a survey was made to determine how many Americans were in prisons and the cost of these prisoners, the cost of these prisoners to the government and the American taxpayers. There's about 2.3 million Americans in prison right at this time, or about 22% of the population. It costs, get this, $43 billion per year. The average cost for a prisoner in the United States is between $31,300 and $60,000 per prisoner to be in prison per year. If you live in New York State, you're right around the high point in California. They are the most expensive. So it's extremely costly, not only to the government, but to us. And that really put something, a burden in my heart. Why is a country like the United States, which happens to have the most prisoners per capita in the world, we imprison more people than any other country, and yet we still have the most problems. So it doesn't work. The prisons don't seem to be working. We have a lot of people in prisons and cause all kinds of other problems, all right? But you know what? As I read the word, God did something for us when he died on that cross. You notice that he's not there, right? That means he's done. He's risen. He's done something for us that broke the chains that keep us captive in bondage. He broke those chains already. And sometimes we forget that he did that already. We forgot that what he did on the cross freed us from all those things, all right? The problem is that we don't recognize that, and sometimes we refuse to believe that God already did it for you, that he died on the cross and he set you free. And the choice is yours, really. The choice is ours to do that. Now, I want you to listen to this verse in Psalms 107, and it's verses 13 to 16. It should be up there. Now, listen, this is going to be the text. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. I mean, when you look at this, you're thinking, okay, he broke my chains. I mean, if you think about chains, I've never been arrested, thank God. I've never been handcuffed. I've come close, but I would have a definitely fear of that, you know, of being chained and being in bondage, being in behind cells and everything, because I'm a very active person, and being behind cell would be torture in itself, but contain me like that. So I've never had that experience. The closest I've ever come was police following me home all the way from when I dropped Nancy off when we were dating. They followed me home all the way home in front of my house. They surrounded me, pulled their guns out, stuck it in my back and said, hands up on the car. And they thought that I committed some kind of robbery because I matched the description. I mean, I was a good-looking guy with a big bush and stuff like that, you know. And they said, where have you been? And I said, well, I was at dinner and a show with my girlfriend, and I just dropped her off home. And I opened up your trunks, and they were looking for sneakers because the guy who did it had sneakers. I had dress shoes on, platform shoes, but I had dress shoes on. So that's the closest I've ever come, and it scared me. I don't care what anybody says. When you have a gun pointed at you and in your back, that's not a joke. You know, that scared me. So I have never experienced that, but I've known people that have, to be like in bondage in chains. You know, just think about it, to be shackled. You know, it's humiliating. And it takes all your pride away from you. It takes everything away from you. But you know, in this scripture, when we look at the scripture, I noticed something very interesting in here. And it says, They cried out to the Lord. The first thing they do is they cried out. How many of you have ever cried out? And said, Jesus, help me. You know, they cried out. The first thing they did. Then they gave thanks. They praised. You know what? When we worship God and we ask Him, Lord God, You are the God of all, God of universe, creator of heaven and earth. When we worship Him, you know, it starts to bring freedom to us. We realize that He is in control of everything and every situation, every circumstance, everything that happens. No matter, even if we are in chains, He's still in control. All right? So, you know, when we do those things, it's like a pattern here. All right? That when we do those things, give thanks, worship Him, chains start to fall off. Things start to happen that we never thought possible. You know, chains have become so much a part of our daily lives or bondage that we do not even know that we are weighed down. Sometimes we don't even know that we're weighed down. Sometimes we don't even know why we're weighed down. There's all kinds of different chains. You know, there's a physical chain that we know about, the shackles, bondage, handcuffs, whatever they may be, all right, for whatever situation. Those we know about. There's others. There's emotional. There's spiritual. There's mental. And sometimes even our family history, all right? There's things that happened in the past that we think we're going to be the same way, all right? Because we haven't accepted and realized what God has done, all right? And you know, when you know the Word says that when He sets you free, you're free indeed. Am I right? You're free indeed. What does that mean, free indeed? That means everything that happened before, forget about it. God has taken control of that already. He's already handled that. You're done. That's not what He has for you. He has something else in mind. Whatever happened in your family history, God's making a change. He's making a change. And a change that's going to make you different. You're not going to be like your father or your mother or your uncles and aunts and the things that they did that were contrary to the Word of God. You're going to be what God wants you to be. He has a purpose for your life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. So that's what the Word says. The Word says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. I love that verse. Because I don't want my old self. My old self was mean and had a temper. My old self was about myself, selfishness. I don't want that part. I want the part that God has given me, a part to love people, to be graceful. We sang that song about gracefully, right? You know, that's I surrender. You know, when you finally get to that point where you say, Lord, I surrender. Everything I do, everything I have is Yours. Whatever You want to do with my life, go ahead, it's Yours. All right, it's not easy to do, all right, especially for us men, all right? So we have a hard time doing that. But God says, when you surrender and you give it all you have, He takes over and everything smooths out. You're not the same person anymore. God has made the changes necessary to make your life the way He wants it to be. You know, His desire for our life is more than we can ever imagine. It's more than we can ever imagine. He wants the very best for us. The very, very, very best. I mean, if you're a young lady or a young man, God has a plan for you. All right? The person He has for you is His best. It's always God has His best. Don't settle for less. That's why I tell my youth kids all the time. I tell them, God has His best. Don't settle for less. We witnessed that on Friday when Jenna got married. God had His best for Jenna. And what a beautiful wedding that was. And to see how God orchestrated every single thing. All right? That's what God does. Galatians 5:1 says, stand firm, do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. It's about the choice we make. Stand firm. Standing firm. What does that mean? What are you standing on? All right, if you're standing on glass, you're not going to stand very long. If you're standing on ice, sooner or later it's going to melt. But if you stand on the Word of God, the foundation of Jesus Christ, and everything that He has for us, you will always stand. You're standing on a rock. All right? It's very hard to break a rock, a big rock. All right? Usually the rock wins. Right? So you're standing on a great foundation. I want you to look at some scriptures with me that have to deal with different kinds of chains that kind of hold us back from getting everything that God has for us. First is Mark 5. Verses 6 and 8. You all know this story. But as I was reading it, something just popped out at me that was like, oh my goodness. You know, and I've read this so many times, and the thing that really hit me about this, you're going to hear this, it's just amazing. Are you guys with me? I'm not, by the way, you guys, you'll be home in time for brunch. Don't worry about it. I only got 30 of these sheets. It's hidden under here. Listen, I'm going to start at verse 6. He said, when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, What do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered them, my name is Legion, for we are many. All right, now this is a story about the young man that was in chains, in shackles. The size of the chain didn't matter. All right, he broke it. No matter what they did with him, he had an unclean spirit in him. It didn't matter the size, the width of the chain, how many times they chained him, he would break them. All right, and he would run. He was basically crazy, right? But when he saw Jesus, something happened that was unreal. Now, you got to remember, he said, Legion. My name is Legion. There were many spirits in him. But he said to them, he cried out in a loud voice, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of God? Guess what? People, the enemy know who Jesus is. And he recognized Jesus. And they know the power that he had. He said, don't torment me. Don't hurt me. All right? They knew who Jesus was, you know. And he shouted out and praised them. He said, memories. They ran out to him and worshipped him. He said, what are you going to do with me, Jesus, Son of God? All right? Have you noticed that in that scripture? That those spirits knew who Jesus were? The power? Just his name. All right? Just his name alone. And then he said, come out. Come out of him. All right? So, guys, when we are entangled with all these things that keep us in bondage, keep us chained, all right? Jesus, the Son of God, all right? The one who died for you will free you. Just say his name, Jesus. Jesus, that's who you call upon. You know what? We like to get on our cell phone and call our friends when we're in trouble, you know? We got, goes, oh, I'm in trouble. I need you to pick me up here. My car broke down. Or somebody just left me. They booked and left me alone. Probably didn't hear that word in a long time. Booked, right? I mean, he's left you. And he just left me all by myself. I need help. You know, and the first person we should really be calling is Jesus. You know, but I'm telling you this. Sometimes things happen. Like when you call on his name and God brings around a person, you know, that you never expected to be there for you. Do you need help? You know, and it's like, that's what God's sending an angel for you, you know. Call on Jesus, all right? If you're going to even text him, if you want to text him, text him. If you like texting, go ahead, text Jesus. Say, Jesus, I need you. No? He'll answer that text. You know what? He's got Wi-Fi. He's got everything. He created Wi-Fi. Don't worry about it. He'll answer your call. He's always, always there. He's never late. He's always on time. God is so good. Now we're going to look at what happens when you're in a physical bondage. In Acts chapter 12, Paul was an amazing man of God, that absolutely, I don't know how he did the things he did except by the Spirit of God and the power of God, and the things that he suffered for God's sake, so that the word would be put out there for all of us, so that we had an opportunity to know what God can do for us. Acts 12, verses 6 and 7. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. Sentries stood at the guard of the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in his cell, struck Peter on his side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrist. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals, and Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around me and follow me, the angel told him. Interesting here, it says, you know, he was sleeping. Remember when Jesus was sleeping in the boat? Remember that? And the apostles, disciples were all nervous because of the waves and everything like that. And Jesus right there with them, you know. Well, this angel had to slap Peter to wake him up. You know, yeah, that's what it means. He slapped him. You know, wake up. You know, get on your cloak. The chains fell right off. You see, God uses angels. He uses anything possible, you know. Can you imagine the guard? Now, there was two guards chained to him, and there were sentries at the door. So when they seen this, they probably, their mouth was probably wide open, and they just stood there in awe as Peter walked out of the prison, you know. And I believe that those sentries and those guards knew who God was after that, because that just doesn't happen, all right? Chains just do not fall. Bars do not just open all of a sudden unless there's the power of God there, all right? So think about that. When you're in that kind of a prison, God can open those doors. You know, the first time when we read Psalm 107, it says he breaks the bars of iron. You know, he breaks those bars of iron. I just think that's so cool. And I'm sure Peter was in awe himself. First he got slapped to woke up, then he sees an angel, and then the chains come off him and he walks out of there free. He's probably saying, "What just happened?" You know? And he's been, you know, and you know why he was in prison? Anybody know why he was in prison? Because he was preaching the word of God. All right, he was doing what God had called him to do. A lot of people think about Peter when he denied Christ three times, you know. That's the past. Jesus knew that was going to happen. But he changed him, and now he was fervent for the Lord God. And even though they beat him and tortured him, put him in prison, he continued. The first thing he did is when he came out, started preaching the word of God again. This is my calling. That's what I'm going to do. And so God answered him by saying, you know, I'm going to take care of you, even though you're going to be in prison. Don't worry about it. I'll be there. Acts 16, verses 25 and 26. You have it up there? Okay. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to him. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. Said the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. I find it so interesting and refreshing that they were singing hymns. They were worshiping God. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes when I am in distress and I'm feeling kind of down, one of the first things I do is I start praising God. And I do not have a good voice. When Pastor Tony said about, you know, you might not hold a note, that was me, all right? I can hold a note, but I can sing. And God said, make a joyful noise. He did not say you have to be on tune. He said, just make joyful noise. Even the clashing of cymbals, and sometimes I sound like that. But I sing, and I just worship the Lord. I do it at work. I do it at home. And sometimes people come in and catch me doing it, and they go, what are you doing? I says, I'm singing to the Lord. And I'm praying, I'm talking to him. What are you doing? I'm talking to God. So where is he? He's right there, you know. And said, you know, that I don't have a problem doing that because I know he answers my prayers. And sometimes I have problems where I can't figure a situation out. I can't figure out this problem at work, and I don't know what to do. And no one knows what to do. So I said, I'm going to ask the guy who knows everything, and he gives me the answer. And he's done that so many times. Why? Because I just said, you know what, Lord? You have all the answers. I can't figure this out. You know, all the things that I'm going through, maybe you can help me with these things. And he does. And I'm so grateful for that. But the key is, look, the chains just fell off. And they were worshiping God and just everything, all the chains of everyone, all the prisoners, they all walked out. And you know what? Those prisoners and those guards became born-again Christians. And that's the amazing thing. God just doesn't do it for you. He does it for everyone that you are associated with. All right? When the Spirit of God is with you, you truly are in chain, because you're going to start noticing other people are affected by your way of life, your character, your love for him, the grace that you have for them because of Jesus Christ. They're going to notice that. You're going to start seeing people are set free because they know that there is a solution. There is an answer for all these things that keep us in bondage. Psalms 116. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. Isn't that awesome? You loosed my bonds. You know, I'm sure that somebody that has been in prison for a long time, it just happened last week where Americans were arrested in North Korea, and they were freed. the same day, I believe, which is unheard of in North Korea. Usually they put you in prison forever, or, you know, they want something in return, but it's very difficult to get someone out of prison in North Korea because they're different. They're really different, all right? But God, you have loosed my bonds, all right? I'm sure those people that were held captive were so happy and elated. And I pray that they know the Lord and thanked him for that, because to be able to be freed for something that you didn't even do, and think about that, something they probably didn't even do. They were just Americans in North Korea. Just being an American sometimes gets you in trouble. You didn't do anything, you know? I said, when we go to Mexico, we got to be careful, because just because you are a foreigner, all right, and they know you're a foreigner because you dress differently. And countries like the Caribbean countries and warm countries, you ever notice that the native people never wear shorts? They usually wear long pants, all right? So they know when you see a bunch of Americans with shorts on, because it's warm out, it's past 50 degrees, we wear shorts, right? And so, they know that we're Americans. And sometimes just being different will get you in trouble, all right? But he's loosed our bonds. I want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 8, chapter 8, 2 Timothy. Did I put down the verses on that one? There it is. All right, we got it. 2. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now, Paul is talking to Timothy, who he has been mentoring, and he's actually handing over the baton at this time. And he's telling him, listen, you're going to endure a lot of things in life. You're going to endure hardships. You're going to endure stress. You're going to endure chains. You're going to endure humiliation, whatever. But in Christ Jesus, all right, you have the strength to do what we have called you to do, all right? You know, think about that. You know, as Paul is handing over the baton to Timothy, all right, and Timothy's a young man, and he's ready to go out in the ministry and do what Paul is calling him to do, there had to be some fear there, all right? There had to be some kind of like, oh, I'm going to do this, you know? I'm not you, Paul. You know, you're unbelievable. You've done all these things, and you've been in prison. You've spoken to kings and told them what it was. And just like that, you know, and you've done all these things, and I can't do those things. But he just encouraged him. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter your past, all right, God is going to unchain you when you surrender. When you just give yourself to him, those things that hold us back, those things that cause us to stumble will no longer happen in our lives. They'll start to fall off. Sometimes it takes some time, but I'm telling you, God is so good. He doesn't want you in bondage, no matter what it is, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, your family history, all right? We all have the same problems, really. Doesn't matter who we are, where we're from, we all have the same problems. It's basically the same thing. But I'm telling you, when you have Jesus Christ, you have the solution. You have the solution. Last week, the pastor preached a fantastic word, and I couldn't get this verse out of my head. John 16:33. It was just like ringing in my head all week long. And it's so good that we just can't help but say, Lord, you have the answers. Oh, man. 16:33. You know, as you get old, you can't find these letters too quickly either. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It's already done, people. You know, think about it. It's done. It's finished. He said it's finished. Right? He's no longer on the cross. Now, he's risen. He's walking among us. He's next to you. When you call on his name, he'll be there. He said when two or more ask in my name, I will be there. All right? He's right there by your side. All you need to do is call, surrender. Don't let the chains of this world, no matter what they are, keep you in bondage, keep you away from God, because that's what it does. Chains keep you away. They restrict you. They hold you back, all right, from what God wants. You don't want to be held back. And don't think that, well, I'm just a normal person. You know, what am I gonna do for the kingdom of God? A lot more than you think. A lot more than you think. God has a purpose for each one of us. And no one here is more special than anybody else. You know, he calls us by name. That means he knows you, by the way. He knows the hairs on your head, all right? Don't laugh, all right? He knows everything about you. He knows you by your name, okay? So that means there's a relationship there, all right? Keep that relationship alive by worshiping him, by always calling on his name, by not allowing those things to control you, to manipulate you, or manipulate someone else. Know that you are set free in his name. I want you to watch this video, and there's a song afterwards, but this video is very, very powerful. I never thought of it this way, but this is exactly what happened, so just watch this.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice at the same old lies,
You see on that cross, he took everything that holds up bondage. Everything. He took it upon himself. And I don't have the words to say thank you, Lord, for what he's done for me, for what he's done for you. But I praise God for that. Because without him doing that, I had no hope. Now I have hope. I had no direction, but now I have direction. I had chains, now I'm free. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Listen to this song. This song will get you moving a little bit. So listen to the song we have.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice, the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison-shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison-shaking savior. If you got chains, well, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. Believe it, you receive it, you can feel it. Somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify.
I have a little country in my repertoire. He's a chain breaker. He's a way maker. He's a pain taker. So all those things that hold you back, he broke them. He set you free. And who sets free is free indeed. You know, if you have an issue with any of these things, emotional, spiritual, physical, family history, mental, the altar is here. The altar is here. Call on his name. Because he's the one who has the answers. He has the key to your freedom. And the key is in his heart. God loves you. And he wants you to be free. To do his work. And free to live a life that he has called you to live. In joy. Not in sadness. Not in bondage. But in freedom. True freedom. You know, sometimes you can be free and still be in jail. Did you know that? Sometimes you can be free and still be in shackles. You can still be free. Right, because it's a state that you know, when you know that you know that Jesus is your Lord, no matter where you are, no matter the situation, you are still free. Because you know that he has the answer. And you know what the beginning and the end is going to be. You know where you're going to be. When God says it's your time, you're not going to be worried about it. Because God has a place for you. He's prepared a place for you, each and every one of us. Now let's pray. Father God, we're so glad and so thankful. The words cannot tell you how thankful we are. Cannot explain the feelings that we have for what you have done for each one of us. That you have set us free. That you took every sin, every chain that holds us back. And you took it from us, Lord God. So that we have an opportunity, Lord God, to do what you have called us to be. To be free, set free, unchained. And rejoicing and worshiping you and everything that we do. Father, when we leave this place today, let us leave unchained. Let nothing hold us back. Let nothing keep us from loving you and sharing the blessed word that you have given us in this Bible, Father. Help us, Lord God, to be joyful in everything that we do. Help our spirits, Lord God, to be spirits of mercy and of grace. And we ask this in Jesus' name. I ask you to bless the people here, Lord God. I thank you for them being here today on Mother's Day. I thank you for the sun shining brightly. And Father, for those who have money to give, Lord God, for our tithes and offering, at this time, Lord God, we thank you for the monies that you're bringing here to this place, Lord God, so that we can do your work. Would the ushers come forward, please? Do your work. Spread the word of God in the city of Tonawanda and outside the city of Tonawanda. And our homes and outside of our homes, our schools and our workplace. We thank you, Lord God, for the gifts we're about to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Worship team, you guys want to come up here and have a nice song, closing song here?